Welcome to the Coach Louisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Louisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Louisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lilisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/LilisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Louisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the show this morning. Well, you know what? I believe that we had a little mix-up there, and that happens from time to time. But we have a wonderful, wonderful show for you today. We have an awesome, awesome, awesome guest. You've heard her on the show a couple of times here and there. We pray that everyone have a productive, productive day. We thank you, those of you who are in the chat room. Good morning, Miss Patricia. Good morning, Mr. Paul Kiriazzi. Good morning to my guests, my awesome guests. Good morning. How are you, Denise?
Good morning, Louisa.
Good
morning. How are you?
Oh, I am fantastic. On the line we have with us Denise Jenkins. She is the CEO of the Sanctuary CEC, Christian Entertainment Complex. She is also the CEO of an entrepreneurial training company that trains entrepreneurs how to do what they do so she can help people start businesses, operate, manage, and run their businesses, grow theirs. She offers training to help people grow their businesses. Well, you know, in order to grow your business, you first have to grow yourself. And I know we do a lot of work in that area. Personal development, it's called. A lot of people sometimes when they tune into the Coach Louisa Show and they wonder, you know, what's this show about? What is this, you know, what is this about? Well, you can tell them it's about personal development. You know, it's like my old friend Dr. Kimbrough would say about finances. He says, the pocketbook can't grow until the mind grows. Well, I'm here to let you know your life can't grow until you grow personally. You have to grow. Same thing with your company. You can't really grow your company and grow, because in order to grow your company, you have to grow the individuals in the company. So you can't grow people without personal development. So we thank you, Denise, for coming on the show to help us further just, you know, solidify this topic of personal development. You have an event coming up. We did lose her for a minute, but she'll call back in. She has an event coming up that is very, very empowering. Ah, there you are. empowering to the individual. Yes, I know sometimes Blog Talk Radio will just drop the drop you like that, but you're back with us, Denise, and we were just saying that. Yes, you're in tune to all the personal development, professional development, as well as spiritual development. You need all. Yes, you need all three. I mean, you know, as spiritual as we may get, you still have to work. So you still need a professional side. You still need to be able to have a career of some sort, have some way to feed yourself, to earn an income. And besides, God has given you talents and gifts, and he said your gift will make room for you. So, but good morning, Denise. I tell you, it's you're just 2 days away from that big event there in Cleveland, Ohio. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, LaLisa, hello, everyone. Hello, LaLisa. Hello, everyone in Newark, New Jersey. And for all of her listeners, I know she has a broad range of national listeners. Hello to you, too. We're here in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Sanctuary CEC. We are hosting in 2 days our annual Standing in the Gap. And what Standing in the Gap is, it's an intercessory prayer breakfast. But it's more than that. It's more than a group of people coming together in prayer and eating food. We do it as a community outreach venue. And we host 4 to 5 different local shelters through what we have created called the Power of 40. And the Power of 40 is a way for 40 leaders to exercise their influence by sponsoring 40 people or 40 individuals from the local shelters. And what they do, they help us to embrace, impact, and enrich the lives of those that are coming. So we get people involved. We get people involved in the gift of giving because, LaLisa, as you know, if you give, you will receive. The gift is not just in the giving, but the gift, I mean, in the receiving. The gift is in the giving. And we are very excited. We have confirmed those shelters. They're coming. We also have confirmed transportation for them. So we're really excited. I've been on the prayer line this morning. I have some faithful intercessors that get up with me at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we have been intercessing for the past month. We established a prayer line. So we're building a good foundation. So just like anything, even in business, in ministry, in your life, you have to have a solid foundation. Because if your foundation wavers or if it doesn't hold what you need it to hold, then everything from the top down will crumble. So we're building it up with seeking God first in prayer, and then we're just going to let that thing do what it do because we already know God is already ahead of us, so he's already there.
Yeah, you know, that's what, yeah, we heard, who was that said the other day, you know, we're not asking God to meet us in the place, but we want him to beat us in the place. We want God. You know, that was Dr. Virginia Booth, and powerful woman. And so, yes, we know that God goes before us, setting the atmosphere. So when we show up that day, I mean, the atmosphere is already set and just drenched with his anointed powers, so that people can really get set free and healed and delivered. So we are so excited about what's going to happen there this Saturday. We know you're going to take lots of pictures and get some footage, and people will be able to experience some of that by going to your website and your Facebook site where you can, you know, actually post. You know, it's always nice just to see what people were experiencing at that event. And then, like you said, looking for these leaders to, as you said, exercise your influence as a leader by sponsoring someone to come to this event that really needs a life change. And, you know, Denise, I really, boy, this is 1 year that I really wish I could be there. I just launched a brand new campaign yesterday.
Wonderful.
Tuesday night. I just launched a brand new campaign that is going to go viral. It's just very, very shortly. And that is the 1 million women changed. 1 million women changed. And
wow.
So we're changing.
Oh, wonderful.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to get, and I would love to get it into the hands of those women that you're talking about that will come from the shelters, because what we're doing is we're going out to the shelters, the prisons. I've already been to 4 shelters here in New Jersey. I have another one to go to this weekend and also one on April the 9th. And then Tuesday night I was with women from a drug treatment center. 27 women. So what we're doing is we're going out to the drug treatment centers and the halfway houses and shelters, and we're getting 1 million women that want their lives changed instantly, and we're getting into their hands the book From Prostitute to Princess or God's Plan to My Success, either book. Either one is a life-changing work. And so that's what's going on here. And we would,
Amen.
Oh, my gosh.
That
yes,
sounds exciting, Lisa. I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to see how the numbers grow. Now, I know you're going to put a ticker tape on your website somewhere so we can see as it grows, the numbers. You know how they do it on the telephones? So I don't know how you're going to do it, but we're going to have to put a ticker tape number counter or something. Look, I'm going to put that on Pat. I ain't gonna put that on your hotel minister, Pat. She began, look, I know she's running now. Tell her, oh Lord, they done gave me something else.
Well, Minister Pat happens to, she is now officially my executive administrator. So she will be handling a lot of things. She's so cute. I said, Pat, I got one more thing. She was like, well, you got everything else for me to do. And I said, okay, Pat, we got to make this official then. So,
Pat,
yes,
I'm going to have to
so,
come put some oil on you and lay hands, because you have no idea. That fire starter, shoot. Now, remember, she a fire starter. And fire spreads. So you got to keep
and
up.
But you know what I like is the fact that, you know, I met Pat 2 years ago, and I met her through my book. My book was sitting on a shelf in a bookstore, and somehow she got her hands on it, and she picked it up and began to read parts of it. And she said, oh, I want to have this woman speak at my 100 Women in White. And she called me, and we spoke on the phone for probably about an hour or so. And then shortly, and this is going back, well, that was, so the it was last April or so. So this is probably around September of 2009 when we met. So, you know. And then we've just kind of been hanging around ever since and going places, and we've done some things. So, yeah, it just kind of happened naturally.
Amen.
You know, but you know how that can be, Denise. I know for me and my work, I'm always asking God, okay, God, do you send someone? I could go and pick someone. Not a problem. But I'd rather have people that God sends. And sometimes God tells you, okay, choose someone. Yes, we know, like he did Moses. He said, go choose 70 elders, all right? That's going to help you run this show, help you take some of the burden off of you. You know, Moses,
yeah,
for a while was, you know, doing a lot on his own by himself. But God said, go get 70 elders to kind of help you out with this thing. And so, yes, God will let you choose, but he also told him who to choose from. Choose from the elders. Choose somebody mature.
Mm-hmm.
Choose someone who is more probably more settled, you know. So we have to, you know, be wise in our choosing. You know that, Denise, very well. Because you could choose,
yeah,
and put the wrong people around you,
yes,
and you will be absolutely miserable.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right, you are,
yeah,
so absolutely right. Because then you work harder than you should, because it's not their gift. It's not their skill. It's not where they should be. So that means you're out of purpose, she's out of purpose, or he, and the work that you're doing will then get out of line and out of purpose. And it has to line up a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I love about Pat, I've almost never had to, so far, I've never had to ask her to do anything. All the things you see her doing, she offered to do. She said, oh, schedule people. Oh, I'll do this. Oh, give me your calendar dates. I'll put them on a calendar. I never had to ask her, would she do it? You know, places that I've gone, okay, I'll go with you. Or she'll say, do you want me to go with you? I've never had to ask her. So, you know, that's the kind of people that when you have people like that in your business, you know, I did a show about a year ago on developing your executive team. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, you that team of people that are going to help push your ministry forward or your business forward, which for some of us, our business and our ministry are one and the same. You know, so there are people that have business and ministry separate. Some have just business. Some have just ministry. And then there are people who their ministry and business is one and the same. So, you know, it's very, very important, especially in doing the things like what you're doing. You know, you're hosting these events that bring in 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 people. You can't possibly, you know, do all that work by yourself. It's just not possible. You know, you have to, even if you were superwoman, you still need, you know, a lot of people. And so Saturday, then you're ready for Saturday. You have your theme be your theme, Standing in the Gap 3. This is your third annual Standing in the Gap. And so now, just what, you know, what are some of the, you know, if you could help someone who is tuned in and they also want to do the type of things that you're doing, because you also train. I love how you train your staff that does work with you. And sometimes, you know, a lot of your staff are volunteer. They're volunteering or they are, you know, sewing as partners with you. But people still have to train. So can you tell us what are some of your successes or your keys to success as it relates to training people to operate such a large, you know, event like Standing in the Gap and some of the other, Beyond Abuse and some of the other events that you host?
One of the things that I know to be true in business and in ministry is that you have to have a plan. And your plan needs to be written out and needs to be clear, not just for yourself, but for those that you are going to bring in on your team. Then you need to define their role. Because most people, when they come in to help, they don't know, they have a willing heart to help, but they just don't know what to do. And then you have to watch and see if that role fits their skill, if that role fits their gifts. Because it's like we just got finished saying, if they're operating out of their comfort zone, if they're operating out of their skill level or their gifts, then it's not going to work for either one of you. So you have to first learn your people, sit down, have a conversation, see what they like to do, and see what they love to do. Because if a person, like, for instance, if a person likes to talk or is friendly and very cordial, then that's the one that you need in the forefront of you. If a person has a genuine smile, that's the one that I would put on the door as my gatekeeper or as my greeter, because they'll radiate that personality. And in radiating that personality, because that's something they love to do, touch people and hug people and talk to people and assist and have that heart for service, then you know you're putting them in the right place, and they will grow in that. Because if you're not giving them an area where they can grow in, they'll die, and they'll just wither away. So one thing I do, I define the roles, and I define what I need. Event planning is like anything else. You have to have a solid plan. So I sit down and I look at the whole entire event. For all entrepreneurs and for all ones who want to do events like me and you do, LaLisa, on such a large scale, whether it's from 25 to 1,000, and I have even hosted events up to 10,000. So we sit down and we come up with workable projects within the group. We come up with things that I take it from the beginning to the end, from A to Z. You have to look at everything. I would take myself and walk through the entire event. What happens when I want to buy a ticket? How do I get the information? Where would I go to get those things? What venue would I want to be sitting in? If I was the person who was buying the ticket, or if I was the person who was coming to the event, is the place pleasing and cordial? Is it easy access? Is it in a safe environment? Are the bathrooms clean? Can the people cook? You know, those kind of things, especially for what we're doing, this intercessory prayer breakfast. Those are all of the things we had to look at. Are the people that we're renting the venue from, do they have a spirit like ours of excellence? Because we do look for excellence. I ain't talking about perfect. I'm talking about a spirit of excellence. So we look for those kind of things. And then gather your team, build your team, build people who are like you and can flow and move like you. If you are a rabbit, don't put no turtles next to you, because that'll drive you crazy. So if you have, but you do have to have all different kind of personalities. I'm not saying have a whole team of rabbits, but have people that can keep up with your movement, your motion, and your vision. And then take it to that day. Plan the day. Actually, take the time, sit and be in the event or the occasion that you're doing. Sit in the event and walk through the whole thing, and then listen. Listen to your team members. Let them bring ideas to you, because what that does, that nurtures inclusion, that nurtures growth, and that lets people take ownership of what they're doing. Because if you make people feel important, and if you get them excited and motivated, and if you spark that interest, they will help you, and you can kind of step back and lead. And that's one thing you want to do. You want to also take your hands off. Don't micromanage, because everybody that comes does have a gift. You just got to put them in the right position. So you have to learn them, put them in the right position, let them grow, and then let them go. And let them go into what they're going to be doing for you. So those are some of the key things that I help and do with the volunteers and staff that I have. I let them operate and work in their own gifts. And if we have some missteps, I don't beat them up. Just tell them it's okay, let's try something new. Because life is hard enough without someone volunteering for you or somebody working for you, and then they get beat up by their boss. I've been on them kind of jobs. It is very depressing. It is very heart-wrenching. And then they have a tendency of taking that stuff home. And nobody wants to take their job home or have a bad attitude or hate to come in. You know what I mean, Lisa? So those are just some of the things that we do. We exercise our experiences and everything and everything that we do. So those are just some of the basic things that we do when we are looking for or when we are getting ready to host an event of this magnitude. And I also want to make mention our keynote speaker, Danita Harris Pratt. She is a person of interest. She is a community leader. She's a first lady. And she's also one of our anchor persons on Channel 5. She's the evening anchor person. And she is a wonderful woman. So you also want to make it interesting for the people who are coming. Because if you don't have it interesting for them, they're not coming. They're not coming, and they're not going to be engaged. And you want to engage your audience, and you want to make sure that it's something that they would love to come back to. You want to keep them wanting for more. So those are the things that we do.
Wow, that's great. That is awesome. And I know then you have these events that you host for your organization, your nonprofit organization, but also hosting other events like the Northeast International Christian Writer and Publisher event that you're going to be working on as soon as this event is over. You know, some people would wonder, how in the world do you do so many events, and how do you get them done so, like you said, with excellence? You know, so like some people, boy, doing one event every 10 years is a lot to them. It's a lot to pull together. You have to get your facility. You have to get your advertising, your promotion. You have to get your staff, your team. If you have a program, you got to have a program booklet going on. You got to get your presenters, your speakers, what have you. You may have vendors. You may have food. You may have entertainment. You have entertainment people. Entertainment people need all the things. How do you pull all that together, so many events, and, you know, so many and so often and what have you? What's your secret to success as it relates in the organizing of your events?
One thing, LaLisa, we're operating in our mission statement. And the Sanctuary CEC, we're a ministering outreach service used to facilitate many forms of Christian entertainment, leadership training, workshops, and social events. So we're working in our mission. That's what we do. If you're not working in the mission or vision of your business, then you're in the wrong business. So our business is to bring people together, to do the training and the workshops and the social events, to bring Christian entertainment to another height and another level, for people to come in and to be in partakers of the word, because we do the business of ministry. So in doing the business of ministry, we believe that we want to establish and create a place, even if it's not in our own venue, a unique and diverse place where they can get the best of contemporary Christian entertainment, culture, cuisine, and beverages, where they can come, people can gather together in fellowship, educate, experience, and promote the peace and serenity and love of God. So in all of the events that we do, our like I told you before, our foundation is God. We put him in the forefront, and from there it's easy because I'm actually operating in my gift. I'm a multitasker. I've always been one that can do three or four things at a time, and I love to organize. I'm a strategic dynamo, so to speak, because even in my youth, I love chess. I love to play chess and all of those battleship and all of those strategic games. I taught my children how to play chess at 3 and 4 years old. My husband plays, you know, so being able to see things before it happens, you know, those crucial steps, it's key in organizing anything that we do. So So in doing that and in gathering and then looking for people who have like spirits, who can do the same thing that I do, is also crucial. And it takes some time. It is not something that's going to happen overnight. Through trial and error, through, you know, hardship and disappointment, through getting up and falling forward, we get it done. And then because I set up, I'm very organized, and you have to be organized in order to do what I do, in order to do what you do, because we juggle so many things. You have to be a good scribe, a good bookkeeper, so to speak. You have to be a good writer. You have to log and catalog and categorize things and archive them so that you can, you know, you got to take a lot of corporate, and I've been in corporate, I was in corporate in the corporate environment for 25 years as a supervisor, and I've ran multiple departments at a time, and I've worked for several Fortune 500 companies. Well, not several. I worked for three. And those things just
that would be several.
So I've worked for a few Fortune 500 companies, and I just love the energy. I love the moving and the growing, and it just sparks my mind to do things and to be creative. And in that creative thing, I learned that talent that I had on that job was a gift from God. So I started operating in my gift and started looking for people like myself. And that's how me and you met, because there was an energy about me and you when we were standing at that elevator that day when we met. And we just clicked, you know, and sometimes you just know what you know. So it takes time, it takes planning, and it takes perseverance to do what we do and to do what I do. And not to discourage anyone, but if that's not your mission statement for your business, don't do it. Get somebody that knows how to do it and take the pressure off, because life is hard enough. If you don't know how to host or to organize an event, there are capable event consultants, event planners, or even I love to educate. Go back if that's something you want to do and get educated. They have classes now at every community college on event coordinating and event planning. They even have classes for chefing, for cuisines and different things. And it doesn't cost, it's one semester. Go and just see if that's something you really want to do. And if it's something that you want to operate in, then go for it. And then contact LaLisa Williams, Coach LaLisa Williams, and she'll teach you more.
Well, yes, you said that. Well, you know, that's good. That's good. That's so good to know, because, again, as people are deciding, you know, you talk about mission statement, you talked about planning, you talked about organizing, you've talked about supervising, you've talked about partnering, collaborating, you talked about operating, you know, in your gift, and then watching how things can just flow. I'm telling you, you're so right, you're so on point. And again, we want to help people, you know, get people to their destiny, to their dreams, to their dream life. Again, living your best life now. Why not? Why not live the abundant Christian life? Why not live that life? Why not live the life where every day you're in mission, you're on purpose, you know, for what God has planned for you, for your life. And you just the joy, like Pat was saying in the chat room, when you are passionate about what you do, there's so much joy that comes from that. And like you said, you've worked with hundreds, you've worked with thousands. I've seen you in action. I've seen your you know, organization, your skill sets. I've seen, you know, the team that you've had, you know, working with you, and the support. I tell you, it is just truly, truly phenomenal. I'm surprised we have not yet seen you on Oprah Winfrey. I'm just really surprised at that, because, you know, your level of operation and expert, you know, you all have to just come to Cleveland and watch this lady work, I'm telling you. So you got to come. Hopefully you all can come with us April 30th when we go there for the book of writer and publisher convention. And here's the thing. There were people. It's not just about writing, being inspired to write, but this thing will inspire you to live your dream, whatever that dream might be. Because, for instance, there are people who, you know, may not write a book, but you may ghost write a book for someone else. That may be your talent. Or you may, like we had the young man who came all the way from Atlanta to do something on how to get your business finances in order, or how to tap into the finances for your business so that you can do the things you want in your business. Now, he didn't come to talk about the steps to publishing, but he talked about the steps to earning a living and getting your credit and your business credit on track, which can then help you fund your book project. But there are so many ways to fund. There's like a million ways to fund a book project. For instance, you know, you can do a fundraiser. You can just do a fundraiser for your book. Who says you can't? You can't go with, well, nobody's done that before. Well, good. Good thing they haven't. So you could be the first. You know, that's one thing about me, I guess, from the lifestyle I had growing up. I'm never afraid to be the first at something. I don't have to wait to see that somebody else has done it for 10 years and have had great success. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, because I know some people, that's how they roll. They have to see that it's going to be a success first before they dive into it. But I'm so glad that I'm not that way. I don't have to see the thing successful before. And many of you know that, that you know me, because, you know, and I'll do it. But if you keep watching me, you'll see that I will perfect it, and it will eventually be successful. So
that's
people
true.
Will
Lalisa,
say, oh.
You know, we wouldn't have so many things. There would be no internet. There would be no blog talk radio. There would be no cell phone, no traffic light. If someone did not take that vision that was embedded in them, and take a leap of faith and make it come true. And believe me, there's going to be haters and doubters and naysayers all around you in anything that you do. But if you persevere and if you keep faithful and if you stay focused, and one of the things that I was talking about writing down things, you know, and making it very clear. One of the things I would like for your listeners to understand, too, that they need to do what when I wrote my business plan, I did a opportunities and issues analysis. And I did the strengths and the weaknesses. I did the opportunities and the threats. And that's what you need to do. You need to weigh both sides. And if your weaknesses are more than the strengths, then maybe you need to readjust your focus. You know what I mean? And then you also need to look at your organizational plan. You know, look at the strategies and the priorities. Look at your mission statement and your strategic alignment. You have to look at all of those things when you're operating at a small level or even at a big level, when you're operating with one business or when you're operating in multiple businesses like me and yourself. So we have to look at all of those things. So they need to weigh the pros and cons is all I'm trying to say. They have to weigh the pros and cons and see if it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, you know what I mean? If it doesn't make sense, if there's not a need for it, then it may not work. But take a leap of faith, because being a innovative person that has a unique ideal will always work. But if you're trying to promote something that's been played out or dead in the water, it's not gonna, you know, it's like kicking an old horse. He ain't gonna run. He's not gonna run. And then understand, too, that there's no lack in God's opportunities. God has something wonderful.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
No. I was just saying there's no lack in God's opportunities, because he does have a plan in each and every one of us, because he planted that plan even before we were born.
Yeah, and Denise has been here several. I know you've come to probably at least, I'm just guessing, not guessing, but like a close estimate, at least 5 events, or 6 possibly. I know you were at least 3 out of the 4 Release Your Power conferences we held. We held 3 of them at NJPAC, and 1 we held at the in the Crystal Ball at the Robert Tree. You were at all 3, if not all 4. You've come to a couple of our Kingdom Women's Empowerment Convention, which I know you came to the one in Philly. And then we have the third one happening this year, next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend. And I pray that you're coming. I'm not sure if you're coming, but I pray you are. But if not, you were there. And then you came down to at least one of our Christian Women's Leadership conferences.
Yeah.
So yes. So, you know, she does
fan,
all that.
I'm a big fan, so just know that. I'm a fan.
You're more of a partner. But certainly we decided when we first met, I remember distinctly talking with you and, you know, on the phone and what have you after we met at that hotel in New York where neither one of us knew each other, and we met there in the hotel, in the elevator, not in the restaurant, sitting down, chatting, you know, not sitting together in a conference. You were leaving the fitness room. That was the only reason you were on that floor. The only reason I was on that floor at that time in the morning is that I was going to set up the Toastmasters room where I was going to be making a presentation, and I needed to get there early so that I could set up the room. And all I remember is that before I got down there to set up the room, I was in my room, my hotel room, and I had gotten very sick, like, you know, like not deathly, but close, in like from the moment I woke up. And I almost didn't go. Well, actually, I was delayed, because had I gone down to the room, you know, had I gotten up and not had that bout with something, I don't even know what, because I hadn't eaten much the night before, so it could not have been food poisoning. But whatever it was, it constrained me in my room long enough to meet you at that elevator. So that's why we always refer to it as a Holy Ghost hookup.
Amen.
Because I know what my intentions were, was to get up, get down in that room, get it set up, go back up to my room and chill out for a moment. But I was so deathly ill that I could not leave the room. And all I know is I sat in that room and I started calling on Jesus because I was that sick. And it seemed so out of the place and out of the blue that this came upon me. Even my roommate, she was stunned. She couldn't believe it. So, you know, she was a little worried, too, as you know, because she's like, what is going on with this woman? She didn't really know me either, so she probably was a little scared. And so then I got down to the elevator, and then I met you. So I always felt like, you know, it was God's plan, because had I, you know, and you were just down there to work out, so it wasn't like I was going to see you there later. And I'll never forget that. But we decided early on that we were going to partner together. You know, so you stated that you would share some things with me, and you know, I said I would share some things with you, and we would share the knowledge that we both had gained from our jobs, our careers, and our lifetime experiences. And as far as I can say, we've been doing that ever since we met. I mean, you know, you showed me how to, you know, fill out the paperwork and for my 501c3. You showed me how to put all that paperwork together, which if I had gone to a lawyer, I would have had to pay $700-$800. And you didn't charge me a fee. You said, you know, here's how you do it. You brought the example with you, and then you sat there and took time, like with gladness, you know. You didn't rush through it. You didn't act as if, you know, it was annoying to you to show me things I didn't know, and you showed me how to do it and left me with a copy. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then you did some flyers for me. You took my business name and the phone number and whatnot, and you created flyers. You sent that to me. I mean, you really, the people need to know you. I remember the CDs. I had preached a couple of sermons. I sent the CDs to you. You had them burned and dubbed them for me, and you know, I was able to use those as product for a couple of places I went, but just a very, very, very helping spirit. So I'm not surprised that.
I forgot about the CDs. You know, and I got to tell Pat, I put her face on the CD. So just know that's what she liked. She really loves those CDs, if Pat is listening. We had a young man who was actually able to burn the label on, and they do it now, you know, they do it now regularly. So it's not that they use the paper labels anymore, but he was actually able to burn Lalisa's image on it. I thought that was back then, you know, that was new technology. Now it's just everyday, you know, common. But I thought that was such a neat thing. Look, and I was so excited. Look, I thought it was like my stuff. I was so excited about helping you and getting that done, and I couldn't wait until you saw that. That was so funny. I was like, oh, my God. It was like birthing a baby, you know, like, oh, I can't wait till you see this. So it was, and you have to have that kind of heart to do those things.
Yeah,
how
many times we say, oh, boy, if we were in the same city, but then Cleveland being just 4 hours away from my hometown, Cincinnati, Ohio, and then you came there when we did our praise and deliverance conference, and then my mother had passed away in 2005, and, you know, we've done some great things together, and we have much, much, many more great things to do together, you know, traveling around, because, again, you know, we haven't yet, you know, talked much about the bringing the Standing in the Gap conference here to New Jersey, and you doing that here. We haven't yet talked about that.
Oh, man, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
Look, but
Lisa, I also want to say before we get off the radio, understand also, too, that our friendship has been unique and that we have had trials and errors in our friendship, that there was a time at one of our events that we didn't see eye to eye, but I thank God that the enemy did not win, that he didn't.
Oh, he tried.
He tried. He tried to break.
He tried. He really, because he knew he had to come hard.
Yeah.
He knew he had to come hard to break this thing up. But don't think for a second that the enemy will not. Just like in a marriage, you know how that is. You all in love and y'all getting along well, and the enemy will come in to destroy. Because the enemy hates. The enemy, first of all, he hates you. That's number one. And he certainly hates when people come together. He hates unity. God loves unity. The devil hates unity. And people need to know that. So you have to be on the lookout for it. And sometimes we can get sidetracked by things going so well.
Yeah.
And that we're working so well together that we're not on the lookout for how the enemy has crept in.
Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. And that's what happened.
And oh, that's
thank
what
God
will happen.
That he was there. And you know what? And prayer helped us. And for anyone that is doing business or doing ministry, you got to continue to pray. You got to pray without ceasing, as the word says. And that's in anything
and you gotta
that
have,
you do.
And you got to have godly counsel. Trust. Listen, prayer is wonderful. I have nothing against prayer. It is what you need. But you got to remember Psalm 1. That's one of my first sermons that I preached was Psalm 1. But it's one that I love. And it says, you know, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Had that when those situations happen, if you do not have godly counsel with you and people tell you, oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, you don't need that person. This person was trying to use you anyway. Trust me. You're done. You're through. You're finished. You better have, if you don't have people around you, then you better not listen to it. If you don't have people around you that can offer you godly counsel, then you need not listen to them, and you need to talk to God straight, you know, like straight without chaser, okay, and let him tell you what to do. But if you have friends, and sometimes your friends can be family, but I thank God in my situation, I thank God that my husband, Drew, and today is our anniversary, celebrating 21 years of marriage. But I'll tell you, Drew is my godly counsel, and I thank God for him. And, you know, at first I was, you know, kind of wondering about that because, you know, having living here in New Jersey, not having my siblings, any siblings here, what have you, and no parents here, you know, it was kind of, okay, God, how are we going to do this? Who are we going to talk to? But thank God he knows who to put you with. And so he put me with Drew, and sometimes even Drew, you know, we had our differences and what have you. But even Satan, well, naturally Satan would try to break our marriage up, you know, and he's tried on more than one occasion, you know. But now we're on to him. Like, you know, the Bible says, I won't have you ignorant of Satan's devices. So there's no need to let Satan rip your thing apart because we're not to be ignorant to what his schemes are. But, yes, you have to have someone around you that can say, you know what, you need to go back and do this, this, or that. You need to go back and say you're sorry. You need to go back and talk things through. You need to go back and apologize. That's typically what people will tell you because that's usually the one thing that we forget to do. We forget. That's like a weapon. Apology is a weapon that we have against Satan. And in marriages, a lot of marriages would have lasted if somebody would have said, I'm sorry, and really meant it, okay? Because the Bible tells us to do it. It says, if you have aught against anyone, go and ask for forgiveness. It's like very simple.
Yes.
But we have not been taught to do that as kids, and so we have not developed that habit. And then it's very humbling. It takes, you know, you have to be really humble to, you know, say to someone, you know, I'm sorry. You know, forgive me. I made a mistake. I was wrong. You know, I was wrong. I made a bad choice. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You know, it takes a lot to do that. But if we could ever do that, we will see that we will have a lot of relationships could be mended. You know, same thing with, you know, mother and daughter, father and son. It just takes someone saying, you know, now the other person may not forgive you, and that's okay. The other person may not accept the apology right away, but I bet you they will, you know. And, you know, again, you know, Satan has a pattern to try to destroy something that he knows will bless people, okay? It's not just about you being blessed. It's not just about you being blessed because you're going to get blessed anyway. But he loves to destroy things that impact others, you know, like with Eve. He knew that she was going to be the mother of, you know, of, come on, she's the mother of everybody. So he knew that. So why not impact that? Why not, you know, hurt or destroy something that's going to impact so many people? And so, yes, Denise, I, you know, thank you for, you know, reminding or bringing that up so that people can, you know, if we can help someone, it's worth it. It's worth it. And I remember that period, and it was like, you know, you say in your mind, you know, because like you said, you go into prayer immediately. You're like, oh, the devil is a liar. You're not going to do this, you know. And he could take something that seems so innocent. Don't think that he's going to bring a tsunami, you see, because that you would recognize, okay? But, oh, my God, he'll take something that seems so innocent. And that's why I think sometimes it's more painful to people. It'd be different if it was something major, then a person could say, well, that should have happened. But when it's something that appears, you know, to the person that is the perpetrator, like, oh, that wasn't, you know, that's why it's hard for them to stop themselves sometimes. It's like, oh, that wasn't that much, you see.
Yeah.
But we don't know how it's affecting the other person, right?
And then how and how the enemy will twist that thing. And that's where we also have to be very cautious of other people's needs and other people's missions. And we just have to make sure that we work on one accord and in unity. And I just thank God that in that we had growth, because there was growth even in that. You have to look for growth in any misstep. Whether it's business, whether it's relationship, whether it's marriage, you know what I mean, whether it's ministry, you have to look for growth. What did I learn from it, and how can I move forward from it? And I thank God that he allowed us to grow from those things. And
it's nothing new.
Because things happen.
Yeah, and we know we've seen this, and I tell you, every time I out, you know, I think about, you know, we have people that are in the major, in the spotlight, and these things happen, relationships, and sometimes it takes them years and years. I'm glad for us it wasn't even a good year.
Yeah.
So for some people it takes them 5 and 10 years to get back on track. But I know the enemy tries to do that, and he's trying to hold you back. Trust me, he's not doing it for your good, never. It's never for your good. He causes you to think it is.
Mm-hmm. You know what? If he had a one that day, I don't think, you know, we would not be doing what we do now. We would not be on one accord, moving and growing. But see, the enemy can't stop what God has intended to happen. You know, he can make us stumble, but he can't make us fall. It's just like,
he's always trying, you know. Yeah, he can make us, he can antagonize us.
Mm-hmm.
But he cannot defeat us.
That's right. That's it.
Well, we can only defeat ourselves. We can only give in to him and feel defeated. No, we absolutely can do that. You know, you at any moment in your life, if you want to be defeated, you can. It's up to you. You have a choice. You can live defeated, or you can live, you know, victorious. It's your choice.
But I'd like to thank you so much for supporting me throughout the years. And you know, I'm a big fan of yours, and I support you. I watch everything that you do. And I know that you're a trailblazer and a fire starter. And I just want to continue to grow and sit and watch.
I know, right? I mean, boy, we would be on the phone for hours. Every night.
Why we so busy? We can't get on the phone. Look, she'd be on Facebook though. Look, yes.
Remember we were on the and our little husbands were so happy. They didn't mind. Like Drew, and you know she would call, and you know he might chat with her for a minute, or I'd call up there, and And your husband, Joe, would always tell me how I sound like your aunt. I would call, he would think I was your aunt.
Right. And that was the running joke because your husband thought my name was Cleveland. Because I was like, this is Denise Cleveland from Cleveland.
I know, because I was always saying Denise Cleveland. So he thought, yes, her name was Denise Cleveland. So, you know, and so that's what you have to realize, too, that when things rip apart like that, it's not just affecting you, but it's impacting others. So my husband was already used to me saying, okay, I got to go to Cleveland. I was coming up to Cleveland, like, what, once a month?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we have to do that. And you know what? That thing, too, and you have to look at the big picture because we are changing lives. And that's mm-hmm. what your listeners have to understand. If you have partnered up with somebody and you know you're impacting people and you're empowering people, don't think that it's going to always be an easy road. There's going to be something in there that's trying to break that up. And because we had had partnered up with me to do the Legacy Builders series, at my
mm-hmm.
office, it was a monthly workshop where we empowered and embraced and motivated other entrepreneurs to get up. Because one thing, and I have under our mission statement, is that we love turning vision into reality one entrepreneur at a time. And that we had embraced, and we're still embracing it. And it has not died, but the entrepreneurs are coming. And we have to keep motivating and building and nurturing others to get up. And that's the thing that they were trying to destroy. Because if they could destroy the relationship that we had, then they could destroy those visions and all of this energy that me and you have. Because you could think of some stuff and I could think of some stuff. And then what we do, we just don't think on it. We act on it. And that's the
mm-hmm.
thing for all of your listeners. If you're doing business, a good ideal is as good as you do it. So if you don't get up and do that thing, then it's just an ideal. It never comes and it never manifests itself. So it's okay to get up and try and fail forward. Don't think failing is going backwards, but it's a step forward because you get so much knowledge out of it. What we have went through, we have gained so much wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and we have built something that bond that can't nobody break now. And I think and it's in business and in ministry and in relationships and everything. So we have gone, you know, we've taken that baby step. Now we're walking. Matter of fact, we're running.
Because, girl, thank God that, you know, that could have happened, you know, while you were on the Oprah show. And I know you told me whoever got on Oprah first was supposed to get the other one on.
That's right.
So,
that's right. You go, we go. Look, that's it. I remember saying that. We were standing at the hotel steps. You were getting ready to go back to Newark. After that first event where God had blessed us, we had about 700 people. My very first event, it was 700 people that came. And you know, I do crazy stuff. I'm a crazy faith believer. I'm what they call a macro believer, a macro faith person. And we had I had 700 people. I even had Helen Baylor come to Cleveland. And we had almost 2,500 people there. And they came and heard her sing. And that was just unheard of. That's when the vision was being poured out of me. But I know I had to step back and learn some more. So I went back to college to learn what I needed to learn about business and about how to handle, you know, different areas like that.
Yes.
That's what I say. Knowledge is key. You have to have knowledge.
Knowledge is key. Well, dear, on that note, we are out of time, but we are not out of power. So we have power to get it done. We have more information to share with you, and we'll be back. Tomorrow is Friday, so we invite everyone, you know, if you're in the Cleveland area, anywhere in that area, if you want to go to Cleveland, Ohio, it's not that far from New Jersey. It's only about a 7-hour drive. You want to experience something awesome and great, do it. Just get in your car and go. It doesn't take that much. Here in New Jersey, if you're in the New Jersey area, if you happen to come to New York, you can get the information off my Facebook page where I will be ministering over there tonight. Actually, Denise doing my first revival. Can you believe it? And so look how far we've come. Look how far we've come. So we just thank God for everyone, and we're glad that Paul could be with us in the chat room all the way from Tokyo, Japan. He is truly our international connection, so we thank Paul for tuning in. We know we're no longer streaming, so we will close out now. Thank you, Miss Denise G. Jenkins from Cleveland. Finally got it right. Okay, so that's it, that's it.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.